Today's Old Testament reading comes from Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Today's epistle is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise. The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. John chapter 14, verses 23 to 31. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, long, long ago, in my early 20s, when I had graduated from college, I moved to Seattle to start a job at KPLZ Radio, selling and writing advertising. And this was kind of a difficult transition in my life for a lot of reasons. But God used my struggles to lead me back to church. When a friend and co-worker invited me to go to church with her, I accepted the invitation. She went to a Pentecostal, a charismatic church that I ended up attending for about 6 months. Their worship service always included a time when people would speak in tongues, usually everyone speaking in tongues at the same time. I'd never seen or heard anything like it before in my life. Their understanding was that everyone is endowed by the Holy Spirit with a prayer language, which is unintelligible to the speaker and to those who hear it, unless the Holy Spirit has given another person the gift of interpretation. I enjoyed getting to know some of the good people of this congregation and, frankly, admired their willingness to be different. But after a lot of thought and prayer and talking to the pastor at length, I was led to pursue a different course. And I left there thankful for the experience and with a new curiosity about the Holy Spirit. More than ever, I wondered, what does the Holy Spirit do? Jesus came to die on a cross and atone for our sins, to give himself as a sacrifice for us, to take the punishment for our sin upon himself, and then impute to us, credit to us, his perfect righteousness. So we are justified. We're declared righteous. That's what Jesus does. That's what's central to our faith. But what does the Holy Spirit do? Why should the Holy Spirit even matter to you and me? Frankly, sometimes the idea of the Holy Spirit intimidates us. We don't understand the Holy Spirit. We associate the Holy Spirit with practices some of us might be very uncomfortable with, like speaking in tongues. Practices that harken back to the day of Pentecost. So let's take a look at what actually happened on the day of Pentecost. By the way, before the time of Christ, the day of Pentecost was already a holiday on the Jewish calendar. It occurred 50 days after the big Passover celebration, hence the name Pentecost, meaning 50. That was the day the Jews celebrated God delivering the law to Moses. So on the day of Pentecost that we just read about in Acts, there were devout expatriate Jews from all over the Mediterranean basin, all different countries, who had made the pilgrimage back to Jerusalem to observe the day of Pentecost in the holy city. And also gathered in Jerusalem that particular day of Pentecost was the core group of the disciples of Jesus, still revved up after 10 days after Jesus had ascended into heaven. That Pentecost morning, they had gathered in a large meeting room in the temple. And suddenly the roaring sound of a powerful wind filled that room, and the sound of it could be heard in the rooms and public areas all around them. So hearing the sound, other people who had gathered at the temple for the observance of Pentecost streamed into the room where the disciples had gathered, everyone wondering what was going on. What they saw stunned them. Above the heads of each of the disciples of Jesus was what appeared to be a flame, a tongue of fire. And those who stood there dumbfounded at the sight didn't realize it, but they were witnessing the very literal fulfillment of a prophecy. In Matthew 3:11 and Luke 3:16, John the Baptist is quoted saying, "One is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Well, there it was. The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and marked with fire. But what happened next was even more amazing. As these Jewish people from around the Mediterranean rushed into the room where the disciples of Jesus had gathered, they heard these disciples speaking to them in their own languages. Those from the Greek territories heard some of the disciples speaking Greek. Those from Rome heard Latin. Those from Egypt, Egyptian. Those from Mesopotamia and Cappadocia and Arabia and Crete. Wherever these Jews were from, they heard the mercy and forgiveness of Jesus being proclaimed in the language of their adopted nations. It was very strange, and those present were stunned. These disciples were simple, uneducated Galileans. How is it that they speak to us in our own languages? They wondered. Again, prophecy was being fulfilled. Peter stood up and addressed those who had rushed into the room. He quoted the second chapter of the book of Joel, who prophesied almost 900 years earlier that at the time of the Messiah, the Lord would pour out His Spirit. And now it was happening. The question is, once the Holy Spirit is poured out, what does the Holy Spirit do? You know, there's a great summary from the lips of Jesus on the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, found in John chapter 16. The work of the Holy Spirit in our time started when Jesus announced that He was sending to us a paraclete. That's a Greek word. Sometimes paraclete is translated helper. Jesus will send a helper. Sometimes it's translated counselor or advocate. The Holy Spirit functions in a number of ways, but always, always, through God's Word. For example, He conveys the gift of faith to us through God's Word. In John 16, the Holy Spirit is described as convicting us or showing us the truth. John 16:8 says that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict us concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Well, what does that mean? It means He convicts us in the sense that we're made keenly aware of the reality of our own sinfulness, our own self-righteousness, our own self-serving judgmental attitude toward others. We become more aware of our own sin. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us the work of Christ to forgive you and then actually credit to you or impute to you the perfect righteousness of Jesus, despite your sin and failure. Here's an example of how that works from one of my favorite parables from Jesus. A respected and apparently righteous Pharisee, along with a hated, despicable, and sinful tax collector, went to the temple to pray. The honorable Pharisee prayed like this: God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, thieves, adulterers, or this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. That was the end of his prayer. But when it was the sinful tax collector's turn to pray, he simply beat his chest in a sign of contrition and cried out, God, forgive me, for I am a sinner. How is it that the tax collector actually understood and would acknowledge that ugly truth about himself? The Holy Spirit convicted him. Tax collectors were so universally despised in ancient Israel that Jesus' punchline at the end of this story was scandalously shocking. Truly, I say to you, Jesus said, it was the hated and sinful tax collector who went home forgiven and accepted by God, not the esteemed Pharisee. The Holy Spirit was at work in the tax collector. The Holy Spirit calls us to see ourselves as we really are. He convicts us of our own sinfulness. But he does not condemn those who trust in God's mercy. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. John 3:17. The Holy Spirit convinces us of our desperate need for God's mercy and forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit reveals to you that it's the shed blood of Jesus that guarantees that you are bathed in God's mercy and forgiveness. The end result for you and me is relief. The end result is peace. The end result is gratitude toward God and humility before others and joy, pure joy. When the Holy Spirit convicts us and you understand what Christ has done for you and for those whom you love, you thank the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and compassion and mercy toward us who are sinful. Lord, help us to appreciate the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And help us to ever be listening for his message of forgiveness and compassion and kindness from you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.